We've been enjoying a relationship with Jamie, and Doris and Alan are here as well, that are very involved in with them up there in Hartville. And so I have wanted Jamie to keep coming and just impart. A lot of neat things have been happening up at Hartville at the Atwell Revival Center, and many of you have been going up to meetings, so we've just been growing together closer. I love that. Kevin's been up there a lot, and different ones have gone, and we've been receiving a lot from the meetings that they've had up there. That's on Saturday nights, and so if you ever need a shot of whatever, encouragement and the Spirit, come up. It always ends up being the anointing, so yeah, it depends on it. It doesn't matter what the message is, it always is. And my heart's desire is for every one of you to be impacted by the Holy Spirit, that it's not just on the page, it's not just a commitment to follow Jesus, that's all good, but you can experience the Lord. And as we were in Yosemite, I have this group text that I have created, Oh No Moments, that started out with Phyllis and some of the wild things that happened in our household. And so you don't really want to be a part of that group text because it gets crazy real fast and, you know, whatever. It'll blow up your phone. But so I changed it when I was out there to Oh Wow Moments. You know, I didn't change the name because the name's too good, Oh No Moments, you know. So I started texting, and I'm taking these pictures, especially once we got up to Yosemite. You know, I'm like, Bill Johnson walked in the building, so we were at the church, like, you know, here it is. And then when we're up at Yosemite in the mountains and in this beauty, take a picture, and you look at the picture, and you go, you know, it just doesn't get, you know. And I, you know, it's like a picture's worth 1,000 words, but an experience is worth 1,000 pictures. And that is true of you experiencing the Spirit. You can learn and study and watch other people, but I want to see every one of you impacted by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and then filled and filled and filled, because we all leak. So it cannot be reduced to a one time, I got that, you know, got the T-shirt. But there has to be a continual, we want to submit ourselves to this continual infilling. When I had to contend for it. When I really got a taste of what there was, I started to contend for it, meditate on scriptures and just go after it and yield myself to that. It's often hard for me to receive. If it's easy to receive, then you don't need this talk. But if it's difficult to receive, then you have to contend sometimes. You have to focus. You have to meditate on Scripture. I've always had a hard time. I had a hard time receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I had all these arguments against it. So it just was tough to get to a place of receiving that. And then I started getting these extra impacts by the Spirit. I don't know other term to use them. Unexplainable often. But Phyllis is my testimony in this. She's like, I'd be like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I experience this. I have this, but I don't seem to be able to get it out. She's like, you are changing. You are different. And I always liken it, what I experience, to we have our oil wells around here and the fracking. After the hole is drilled, they bring in all this equipment. Like, it is ungodly amounts of pressure that they put down that hole, and bam, to break open the rock structures. Why? So the oil and the gas can flow. That is my big illustration. When I'm getting bammed by the Spirit that doesn't make sense, I'm like, he's getting me so I can flow, because there's a lot of hardness in there, a lot of stuff that has to flow through. So in this season and time, and Pentecost is coming up, and we just have an expectation to just get an expectation of the Spirit coming in more and more power, because once it came, once the Holy Spirit falls, the dynamic changes radically, and your revelation, your understanding of everything changes radically. So Jamie brings that. Like, even on his bad days, he still brings that. Well, I say that because we're like some, we wait till we feel like it, and it's not that. It's like just be obedient and stand where you're, go where you're supposed to go and stand what you're supposed to stand in, and he is faithful. He will come. So we don't perform. We don't put a quarter in the slot machine. We just contend. We go forward. We move forward. And I mean, the testimonies, Stephanie's recently got impacted by the Spirit. I mean, we're all like, wow, this is real. You know, like she's just been changed since the Spirit fell on her. Just maybe, has it been 2 months ago now, Stephanie? 2/10 was the date. See, it was that impactful. You don't forget when this comes, everything changes, doesn't it? So strongholds get broken, things happen. So we want to do that. It'll mess with your head because it doesn't fit in our logical boxes. So check in your boxes at the door, you know, like that kind of thing. And Jamie and I, we have gotten messed up together, and things have happened in the past. And when we're like that, though, we know what we know. We prophesied. We knew Ron Wilson was going to leave his church, and there wasn't a problem at the time. We had that, and the Spirit fell on us. And I knew that I knew. I apologized 1,000 times to Ron Wilson for what I felt and saw that day, but I couldn't take it back because I felt it so clearly. And in due time, he moved out of that place, and he's in a place that's where he's supposed to be. So you feel things, you do things, and you've just got to release it to the Lord. So Jamie, come on up.
That's an introduction. So,
a man on fire. Love you. I can yell sometimes, so I don't know if this is like too loud, because this is like my whispering voice. So I'm not kidding, because I do yell a lot. But for such a mild-mannered guy, I'm a screamer. But I'm actually, I'm serious. I'm going to have Kevin play in the background for me, just because I love, air support, right? And I just want to start out. During worship, even I was just getting some prophetic downloads aside from the message I have prepared. And so I want to share those a little bit. But I just want to start out praying and just let God continue to fall in this place. Worship is always amazing here. I love the heart. For some reason, I got like really like excited and nervous at the same time. And maybe the introduction was too much or something. I don't know. But
it wasn't too much.
I don't know what you're
It was
But no, I was gone using the facilities and warming up my coffee. But when I got back in, Doris said that you had said something about filling my bag full of seed, pockets full of seed. So you'll find out why that's a really interesting word, and it's because of my message today. So, but let's just invite Holy Spirit. I know He's here, but who knows that Holy Spirit can just keep coming. Because He's eternal and there's no end. You just can't find an end to Him. So even though He's in us and He's around us, like you can say, Holy Spirit, come, because we can say, Holy Spirit, come from now until forever, because He can always come. There's always more, you know? And so it's just like, man, you got me all like shaken up here. And I'll add to my jitters with some Starbucks. So if I'm rolling on the floor shaking, it might not be a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. It might just be nervousness and coffee. But things are going right already. Jesus, thank you so much. Let's just put our hands out. Just get in a place of receiving, because God's going to move in this place. He's been preparing your hearts already for what He's doing. I really sense that there's been such a heart preparation that you guys have gone through that you've gone through a time and season of consecration, and you know, it's like we get what we give, and it's not a thing of, you know, well, you were so good and you were so bad, but it's just a law of the Spirit where you get what you give. Those who sow sparingly reap sparingly. Those who sow, you know, in abundance reap abundantly. And so those who've consecrated themselves and those who've really spent the time in the prayer chambers and have spent the time crying out in their own heart. And just because I say time in the prayer chambers doesn't mean that you had to be in your room and crying out to God for 3 hours. Your prayer chamber is right here inside your heart that can be available all day long in the marketplace, in the workplace, while you're momming it, while you're dadding it, whatever it is. But it's that inner prayer chamber place that he's marking today. He's rewarding today. And I just feel like there's such an atmosphere of reward in the room today. There's such an atmosphere of pouring out in the room today. Like, he really wants to, just like Phyllis talked about the desires of her heart. I just feel like there's such an atmosphere of reward that heaven's pouring out in the room today. And I don't know why I'm just getting so emotional about it, because it's just like the Father's heart is to so reward his children. And it's like, if you would just, you know, I know that's grace and there's mercy and there's all this stuff, but then there's this place in our life where he says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that it's faith that pleases him. And so even though he's a good, good father who knows that there's also just practical avenues of his goodness being able to infiltrate our lives. It's just like salvation's available for everybody, but not everybody positions their life to receive salvation. And so, you know, rewards are abundant, and he has rewards to pour out for now until eternity, but only certain ones position themselves for the greatness of it, and some position themselves for the sparing side of it. And it's not a condemnation, you know, or anything. I'm just saying that he has so much that he wants to give all the time, and it takes us giving of our time. You know, it takes us of giving of our hearts and giving of our what we find pleasure in, so that we would just find pleasure in him. And that doesn't mean that you don't work. It doesn't mean you don't do the things that are necessary in life. Again, it's not about that. It's about where your heart position is 24 hours, 24/7, in the midst of what you're called to do, in the midst of your working and in your doing, and all the things that are important to just do life, because we live in an earthly body and we have earthly tasks to accomplish. And so, but Father God, I just thank you that there's such an atmosphere of reward here today. That there's such an atmosphere of reward today, that your eyes have been searching to and fro, because they're always searching to and fro. And your eyes, Father God, they're always looking. They're always staring. They're always peering into the depths of our hearts and seeing, if I could just find a way to bless them today, if I could just find a way to reward them today, if they would just look at me today, if they would just seek me today, if they would just, it's not works, but there are things called works of righteousness. There's works of the flesh, and I'm not talking about those, but there are works of righteousness. And he's just. If I can just find a way to just navigate a little bit more of me into a little bit more of them today, that's his jealousy. How can I infiltrate their life even greater today? How can I pour out everything I already poured out? How can I pour out some more of that into who they are today? Because I want them to smell like a son. I want them to smell like a daughter. I want them to look like a son. I want them to look like a daughter. Because he says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How can I manifest myself in their life today? Like, he died to manifest himself in our life. He died to manifest himself in our life and show up big and show off. And sometimes we're just like, God, why aren't you showing up? Why aren't you showing off? And you know, I don't have all the answers to that by any means, but I think sometimes it's because we're not giving him room to show up and show off. But I feel like on the other side of that, I feel like he is saying, like, I'm seeing where I get to show up and to show off today, because I've seen a people who've consecrated themselves. I've seen a people who've prepared their hearts. I've seen a people who just want more. Do you just want more today? Yes. Like, God, we just want more. We just want more. We want an extravagant outpouring of who you are, God. And if that means that there needs to be more of an extravagant outpouring of who we are, so that there can be a greater extravagant outpouring of who you are in us, then God, I just ask that you would come. You would come today like a sword, and you would circumcise our hearts in a fresh way today. Mine too, Dad. Would you bring a circumcision of heart? Who knows that the blessing doesn't always look like, you know, filling my pockets with wealth. Sometimes the blessing is, God, circumcise my heart in a greater measure today so that I can follow you. Because where you are, goodness and mercy is. And where you are, life is. And because you have the words of life, you are life. And so, Daddy, if the blessing looks like circumcision today, if the reward looks like a greater setting apart today, then reward us with that, Dad. We want to be set apart. Where we've maybe set our hearts on things not above, but on things beneath, Lord God, would you Colossians 3 us today and put our eyes back up and help us to set our eyes and our minds back up on heavenly things and not on earthly things? And would you consecrate our eyes again today? Would you fill our sight with the things that we need to stare at, with the things that we need to look at, so that we're not distracted from where you're calling us? Because it's like, warning, 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 warning. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't look to the good things. Don't look to the material gain. Don't look to all these different avenues that are so tempting, that are so pleasing to the eye, that are so comforting to the flesh. Oh my gosh. There's so many things that are they're so pleasing to the eye, they're so comforting to the flesh, and it's just, we just got to navigate through the good and the God in that. Because he said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and don't worry, kid. Don't worry, kids. I'll give you all the rest. I'll add all this stuff to you, but he wants to rightly align and rightly position our heart again. He wants to align us and consecrate our hearts tonight or this morning. He wants to, the blessing, the favor of God, it looks like discipline. It looks like let me put your heart right back in the position that it needs to be so that the favor that I have for you can rightly be applied. I hope I'm making sense. I hope I'm being clear. And so, Daddy, right now, would you just position our heart position? And would you rightly align our hearts? Would you, right now, God, I ask, Father God, I ask that there would be a release of your angelic host in the room that would do what you said that they do, and that's minister to the heirs of salvation according to Hebrews 1:14. And would the angels of God be in this room ministering to everyone in the room that would say, God, I want my heart rightly aligned. If it's a hair off, I don't care if it's just a hair off, would you align it back a hair on? I'm sure there's not any big time sin in the room. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, Daddy, you know, just like a car when it's going, you know, we go through life just like cars and they need maintenance. and they need alignment. And so here we are, Dad. We're just saying, Dad, I know we go through life and we have our trials, we have our temptations, we have our fears, we have our doubts, we have our worries. We have all these things that just come at us because we're in this world. And so, Daddy, you said that you overcame the world. And since you overcame the world, would you just grab hold of our heart right now, and would you just align it perfectly again with heaven? Would you align it again perfectly with heaven so that all the blessing, all the favor, even the suffering because he said in Romans 8:18, he said, I consider that all this present suffering isn't worth comparing to the glory that'll be revealed in us. So Father God, even align us with perfect suffering for you, perfect favor, with perfect blessing, with just everything that is in the category of a God life. Like, I want a God life. Do you want a God life? I want a God life. I don't want to be a nominal Christian. What does a Christian even mean today? It means nothing to most of the people in the world. I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? Well, not much. But I follow Jesus, that means something. And so would all the Jesus followers stand? Let's raise our hands. Why am I saying any of this? I don't know. Because he's saying it. Let all the Jesus followers stand and let us all raise our hands. And just like Phyllis had said, let's just declare this. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And we are overcomers. We are victorious. We are triumphant. And we will see our foes defeated in battle. So we will take up our sword and fight the good fight of faith. And we will be victorious. Now, if you don't have a testimony, then you don't have much to stand on. If you don't have much to stand on, you can't walk very far. If you don't have a testimony, you don't have anything to stand on. If you don't have many testimonies, then you can't walk very far. You're stuck in one place. Because the testimonies are the ground that you can walk on. Your testimonies, what am I mean? Your testimonies your testimony is like physical ground. I want you to think of every testimony in your life as a stepping stone. Yes. And the more testimonies you have, the more ground you have to walk. And what does that mean? It's speaking of authority. But if your life isn't full of testimony, then your life isn't full of authority. It's like, wake up, Christian. Wake up, follower of Jesus. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying if you're not, wake up. Why doesn't my life look like Jesus? Well, it doesn't look like it's full of testimony. And if there's not testimony, then there's not authority. If you haven't overcome anything, then you're not an overcomer. All I'm saying is, Let's have a life full of testimony. None of us are perfect. None of us do it right. None of us do it 100%. But I'm just saying, let's live a life of faith where we're not trying to always try to go the road of what's most comfortable. But we're trying to go the road of what's the greatest God risk. Where where can I apply faith so that I can have a testimony, so that I can have something to stand on, so that I can gain more authority and I can advance kingdom. Because if you don't have authority, then you can't advance kingdom. Don't get me wrong. We're full of Jesus. We're full of Holy Spirit. His authority is ours. But who knows that we're working out our salvation. We're maturing in our authority. We're maturing, and I'm saying a life full of testimony that comes through a life filled with faith and overcoming battles and struggles and flesh and temptation and all these things. Like these are the things that build and mature and grow up into the fuller manifestation of sonship, the fuller manifestation of daughtership. And so I guess Holy Spirit through me is just kind of challenging you and I, myself today to if anywhere that we're sleeping in life, then let's wake up. If anywhere that we're not in a place of faith, but we're just in a place of just doing life, we're just, you know, just comfortable, and you gotta judge and decipher what that means for you, because I don't know. But I guess the challenge is saying, Holy Spirit, I want to live a life that expresses more faith. I want to live a life that is worthy of being granted more authority, that's worthy of you in me. And so, God, would you just touch our hearts in such a way that we would want to, in any areas that we have, just comforts instead of a God life. And I'm not saying like you can't have comforts. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like the anywhere that we've allowed comfort to be an idol, anywhere that we've allowed things and just things that we know that we could be doing more. We could be challenging ourselves and taking God's steps. And he's just saying, you know, I just want to challenge you to take another God step in that area instead of just letting it be kind of whatever it is. Jesus. You can sit down. Thank you. During worship, who remembers? I don't know. I didn't remember the last time I preached here, but I know I spoke here in like what it would have been. When was the presidential election? Wow, is it that long ago? So this was like in December of 2015, on December 13th of 2015, I'm kind of repeating a story that I told you a long time ago that's relevant to what God spoke to me today. So I was here in like spring of 2016 or something, maybe late, early winter of 2016, and I was saying how God was saying 2016 was a turnaround year. Who knows that 2016 became a turnaround year, right? Like, whoa, turnaround year. And so on December 13th of 2015, I was in service at Atwell, and God spoke to me. He said that I'm hanging Hamans on their own gallows. And this was on December 13th. And so I prophesied that word that our Hamans are being hung on their own gallows and that it's going to be a turnaround year. And then somebody texted me the next morning and they said, have you ever looked at Esther 9, verse 1? And I said, no, or don't recall what it says, at least, you know. And and I know the Jewish months and Hebraic calendar is different from the Gregorian. I get that, but nonetheless, it says now in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's command and edict were about to be carried out, on the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain mastery over them, a turnaround occurred. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated them. And this was all about Haman being hung on his own gallows and, you know, the king declaring an edict to, you know, that obviously the Jews were saved and to you know, kill off their enemies. And so I got this on December 13th, and here it was the 12th month, the 13th day of the 12th month. Again, I know it's different, but kind of the same. It's kind of neat anyway. And so in 2016, I remember coming here and just declaring that prophetic word, too, that it was a turnaround year and things like that. And my gosh, it turned out to be a turnaround year of turnaround years. You know, I mean, it was just, you couldn't have had much more of a turnaround year, right, in America for a long time. And so when I was here in worship, I heard God start to say that just watch what begins to unravel. Watch what begins to unravel. Watch what begins to, how's that first song go? What's that? What was the, is that the first song you guys sang tonight? It talks about triumphing.
Yeah, it was.
How's that line go? I'm putting everybody on the spot. Unfolds. There it is. Unfolds. That's the word I'm looking for. So he was saying, watch what begins to unfold, not unravel. But watch what begins to unfold. And so I just feel like there's an unfolding that's occurring. And that it's like I have a picture of like a napkin, you know. And if you had a Kleenex or whatever, and it was all folded up. Now, I don't know. I'm going to tear out a little piece. I don't know what that'll look like, if anything. But I just feel like there's an unfolding that's happening right now, in that there's things that are unfolding. What we got here? We got 6 and kind of 7, 8-ish. I just feel like there's an unfolding that's happening right now, and it's gonna reveal. There's something to be revealed in the unfolding, and you know this may mean nothing. I don't know what this means, but the point is that it's like I feel like there is a real unfolding that's taking place. There's a real unfolding that's occurring, and it's like there's something that's going to be shown. There's something that's going to come out of that place of unfolding, and judges 7:9, the story of Gideon. It says, "The same night the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I've given it into your hand. But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp.'" And so, you know, so they went down and obviously heard the enemy saying, "This is a dream I had, a barley loaf rolled into our camp, you know, destroyed our camp, none other than the hand of Gideon." And so what I felt like God was saying is that there's this unfolding happening, and you're going to hear from the mouth of the enemy God's dream for your life. Because God, this wasn't their dream. This was God's dream. Like, their dream wasn't that, you know, our enemy's going to destroy us. Gideon's going to destroy us. That was God's dream for Gideon, and Gideon got to hear it. And so I just feel like there's an unfolding that's taking place, and it's going to be a source of strength for you, because you're going to begin to understand his dream. You're going to begin to understand his dream for your life, and so that you're encouraged to move forward, so that you're encouraged to take steps. You know, we talked about faith tonight. We talked about that it's faith that pleases him. It's a life of faith that builds our testimony. It's a life of faith that basically builds our authority through testimony. And so, you know, I just feel like as things unfold, he's really going to begin to reveal his dream for our life, and so that we can take strength in that, and we can go forward in that. Last night I talked about 1 Kings 19. You know, I kind of talked about our vision last night, and I know that you're not Atwell Revival Center, so I'm not going to go deeply into our vision, but part of our vision at Atwell Revival Center, our purpose, call, mandate, whatever you want to say, is we just want to be, you know, I'm not trying to be a church, really. You know, I know that some of you are like, what is that? But I'm not trying to be a church. I'm trying to be a regional center. Where leaders and other members and the lost and all that can just come and be refreshed. Like I want to be a place that's bringing another source of life for the church. You know, I'm not trying to not be the church or not be a church because I think the church bad. I think the church is amazing, and I just think I can't do it. Because I'm not called to it. And so what I know that I am called to is to be a revival center, not because I'm so grand and I'm a revival, but because that's what he's made me to be. Just like he's made you to be everything you are individually. And so I was talking last night how God gave me a kind of three-part thing that we're to be, that we're called to be, and that's to bring awakening, impartation, and movement. AIM, A-I-M, awakening, impartation, and movement. Like, that's the call on our body at Atwell Revival Center. That's the call on me. We want to be a place of bringing awakening, impartation, and movement. And here in 1 Kings 19, you know, because he's saying there's an unfolding that's taking place. And through the unfolding, you just like with Gideon, right? With Gideon, he said, go down to the camp. This is going to strengthen you. When you hear this, when you get this, when you get my God dream for your life, it's going to bring strength to your life. And that strength that you need, do you ever need strengthened? Do you ever need encouraged? Do you ever just need a little extra dose of Holy Ghost? A little, you know, like somebody comes up to you and just says, man, you're awesome. This is what I see God saying to you. Whatever it is, I don't care. However it comes, it just brings that extra little oomph in your step to just keep going on. And here in 1 Kings 19, you know, that happened for Gideon. And here in 1 Kings 19, and I'll start in verse 1, it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me. You know what happens when you start following God? You start getting in trouble. If you're really going after him, you know, trouble's going to find you. At least try to. And so, anybody following Jesus in here? Anybody ever go through warfare because you're following Jesus? Anybody ever have Jezebel kind of try to control and manipulate and whatever, knock you out, bring fear? And so here's a leader, and if you're in Christ, and if you're a son and a daughter being led by the Spirit, then you're a leader. You know, you're automatically a leader. Because when you're being led, that means that you're a leader. The ones that aren't leaders are the ones that aren't being led. They're called the not remnant church. But the remnant church, the remnant body, are the ones who are manifesting sonship and daughtership because they live a lifestyle being led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. You know what I'm saying? And so here's a letter. He's a led of God person called Elijah. And because he's led, and because not only does he hear God, but he follows God, right? Like, Like we have this stupid Christian thing where we want to hear God all day. We want to hear the falling of manna, but we don't want to go pick it up and eat of it. Like, we want to hear, but we don't want to heed, you know. We want to hear, but we don't want to follow through. And so, like, that's half Christianity, you know. It's like, revelation's great, but then what are you doing with it? You know, let's not stare at our Bible and look at a mirror and deceive ourselves because we don't actually act on it. And so here's Elijah, who's a letter. He's led by Holy Ghost, and he's a leader just like you, as being a person led. And because of being a person that's led by the Holy Spirit, and because he's a follower of Jesus, because he's experiencing warfare, and the warfare is bringing fear, is bringing turmoil. He's scared to death because he stepped in a hornet's nest, and he wished he hadn't in this point. Like, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. It was great in the moment, but now I'm scared. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Verse 3, then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him. Has anybody just, you just got so battle weary that you just fell asleep spiritually? I'm not saying like, I'm just saying like, I'm out, I'm done, I'm clocking out, I'm hitting the, you know, alarm clock keeps going off, but I'm keep hitting snooze because I'm over it. Any snoozers? Any season of snoozing? Like, seriously, you know, it's not a condemnation thing, it's just like, it's a warfare thing. It's just like, I'm hitting the snooze button because I can't do this Jesus thing anymore. I can't do this leader thing anymore. I can't do this being led thing anymore. I'm just done. I can't handle it. And this is Elijah. He's hitting the snooze button, like, over it. Not waking up. I'm going to stay spiritually asleep. And he just falls asleep. But he comes to a place where there's an open heaven. And behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. If you're in a spiritually dry place, if you're in a place where you're just done, do all you can to drag yourself into some worship, or drag yourself here, or drag yourself somewhere where there's an open heaven and the angels can and Holy Spirit can just do what they do, in hopes that when they touch you, it awakens you. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. He's like, well, that was tasty, but And God said, well, let me give him another round. Another dose. This is a little heavier of a sleep than I had anticipated. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him. It's okay to need more. It's okay to be battle weary. It's okay to have experienced warfare. It's okay to say, you know, you God, done. Anybody ever, you God, I'm done. I don't care, I'm real. You can cast me out in about an hour. But so it's okay. It's okay to like, I need revived, and then I need revived again, and what I'm encouraging you to do, exhorting you to do, is keep getting the touch until you fully wake up. So he came to this place where there was just an open heaven. There was, heaven was there, and he was awakened, and then the impartation happened. And he was given bread and water. And what was the impartation for? It says, arise and eat, for the journey is too great. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that impartation. Went in the strength of that food and water. And so, again, I'm saying, like I know you guys have jobs. I know you guys have life. And I know you guys have struggles, and I know you have temptations, because we all do. But make sure, if you need woken up, that you get to a place, whether it's in your heart, or whether it's in your prayer closet, or whether it's in this church, or wherever it is, that you're getting woken up until impartation happens and it strengthens you so that there's movement again. Because he said, you know what, I need you to wake up, and here's an impartation for you. Now he went, it says that he went in the strength of that impartation, that food, 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of God. He went, I'm like, okay, I can meet God again. I'm ready. And so I just pray that there's such an, even if this is round one, if you need some awakening in your life, that just there's an awakening that happens, that there's impartation that's taking place, and in the strength of this, like, you're like, I'm battle ready again. I'm ready to fight again. I'm ready to be not just a Christian, but I'm ready to be a follower. I'm ready to be a leader again. I'm ready to be led, Holy Spirit, again. I'm ready because I came to a place of awakening and impartation, and now I'm ready to move. So all across the room, Father God, I pray that you'd release awakening. You'd release impartation. You'd release, because of that, that there'd be a greater movement in each of our lives, God. It's like, I don't, even if we already are moving, let's move more. You know, it's what's movement? It's action. Faith without action is dead. And so if there's no action, then you are dead. You're sleeping. So if there's no actions to your believing, your faith, what you're seeing, what you're reading, what you're, you know, then there's deadness in your life, and we just want to cut off the deadness today, Dad. I want the deadness. I want where there's fake faith because there's no action there. I want that cut off, and I want movement in every area of my life where you're saying in this season there needs to be movement here. So Father God, any place in our life that there's been, it's been null and void of movement, that there needs to be movement, Lord, would you release awakening and impartation that would bring movement? Because of the impartation, there's such a strengthening that comes that we feel like moving again. Well, that was message number one. You ready for message number two? I don't know. All a side note. So do that, God. Do that, God. So, what God put on my... I am serious. This is message number two. So, like I tell everybody at Atwell Revival Center, you're free to leave anytime. You know, you were free to come and you're free to go. what God spoke to me this morning, because that was when I got my message, like, crawled out of bed, Jesus, speak, please, because I don't have anything. And he said to me, he said, the provision's in the seed. And so you're saying, fill his pockets with seed. And what he spoke to me today is, I want you to talk about the provision is in the seed. Like sometimes we're in life and we're saying, God, where is it? Where's the fullness? Where's the fulfillment? Where's the fruit? Where's the dreams come true? Where's the destiny realized? Where's the increase? Where is it? Where's the thing? Whatever the thing is, where is it? Anybody have some things that you're looking for? Like, hey, Dad, where's this thing? And so he starts speaking to me and saying, well, the thing, he said, you know, the provision, the provision's in the seed. And so let me explain that. Let me expound on that. First Samuel, I'm going to give you several kind of examples that God laid on my heart for the provisions in the seed. The provision is in the seed. I want us to get that, and hopefully this comes across. 1 Samuel 1, you can turn there if you want. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. It says, talking about Hannah, it says, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. So she says, if you look on my affliction and remember me and not forget me, I'll give your... and we'll give your maidservant a son, then I'll give him to the Lord. And so she has a God, where is it? God, where is it? And God was saying, you know, the provision's in the seed. And so she says, you know what? So let's look here. It says, I wrote Hannah's seed. This was the seed, because the provision's in the seed. This was the seed. The seed was her intercession and travail, and the promise to give what she birthed to God back to him. She promised to give her dream to God. The provision was a son, Samuel. The seed was her intercession and travail. The seed was her God, I'm gonna give you, I'm gonna promise you that what you give me, it's yours. What you give me, it's yours. And so again, you know, the provision's in the seed. And so you know, what she was grasping for, what she was wanting, came through the realm of what she gave. And you know, so often, like I said, we're looking for the where is it, and it's like, well, what are you given? What are you laying down? What are you handing over, right? I mean, Abraham, you know, I'm not going to read a scripture, but Abraham's seed was his willingness and obedience. That was his seed, his willingness and obedience. He sowed willingness and obedience, and God provided a lamb and provided the preservation of his son Isaac. So sometimes our willingness and obedience is the seed. Like, God, where is it? He was looking for, I'm assuming he was in full faith that the promise wasn't going to be taken, even in the midst of what looked like a dire situation. And I'm sure he's like, okay, how do I preserve this? How do I hold on to this? How do I keep this thing, because I don't want to lose it, and I want this. This being Isaac, I want this. And so the provision was in the seed, and his seed was his willingness to obey. And so he gave that. He sowed his willingness and obedience, and because of it, what he was wanting came to pass. What he was looking for happened. What he was needing, what he was desiring manifested, and his son's life was preserved. The promise was preserved. John 12:24 says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, if it's sown, it bears much fruit." So if it's sown, then the provision comes. And so what's your seed? What's your want, and what's your seed? So sometime either today, and I have some more scriptures I'm going to go through, but I'm taking a pause. Sometime either during this message or sometime during this week, I want us all to meditate like, okay, God, what's my wants? And God, you know the seed for that. What's the vision? What's the vision? What is it that I'm desiring? What is it that I'm just always in angst about? Like, why not, God? Why isn't this occurring? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't there fruit here? Why isn't there fulfillment here? Why isn't there a fulfillment of this thing? And I want you to think about that. And maybe you already know. It's like, dude, that's easy. I think about it every moment. But then I want you to say, okay, God, what's the seed? If there's a seed, because you said the provision's in the seed, if there's a seed that's not releasing that provision, if there's a seed that there's something, because giving and reaping is a law of the Spirit, sowing and reaping, sorry. And so if there's a seed, God, that I haven't released, that's holding this provision from occurring, I don't know if Abraham hadn't have been willing and obedient. Well, definitely he wouldn't have been Father Abraham. but you know, maybe, who knows, would Isaac have just got, you know, I don't know, you know. Maybe he would have got taken some other way, I don't know. But his seed was his willingness and his obedience. And it got him what he was looking for, the fullness of the promise. Because Isaac was obviously in some ways the fullness, but not if he weren't around anymore. And so what is it that you're looking for? Because it's not that he's not looking to fulfill it, but it might be that there's a seed that needs sown. There might be something. There might be something that needs to die per se, so that the provision can come. You know, it's like we know the story of Joseph. You know, I wrote some notes on Joseph here. It says, I said, sometimes the provision to your vision is the giving, sowing, sacrifice, death of the vision, so that the provision for the vision can come. Let me read that again, because that's kind of a lot of shibbity shibbity. Sometimes the provision to your vision is the giving, sowing, sacrifice, death of the vision, so that the provision for the vision can come. The plan for Joseph's vision, now, like I said, now mind you, Joseph's vision was God's vision, right? It wasn't like, this is just my dream. Like, this was God's dream. This was God's vision. The plan for Joseph's vision was that it would seemingly die and completely be given up. I think it's a prophetic picture that Jacob was told that Joseph was dead. Because there has to be some form of dying a lot of times for some of the greatest visions and dreams and destinies to come forth. It's either going to be a sacrifice of your wants, or it's going to look like it's going to look like the thing that you so desired is the furthest thing that's from happening. Anybody ever experienced that? Like, either it's gonna cost probably two things. It's gonna cost a lot of what I would just like to do with life, or it's just gonna look like this thing is totally not happening. Even though in the moment when you got the vision, even in the moment when God spoke it, even in the moment when God made it clear, it seemed so real. It seemed so like this is happening. You know, then there's that time where it's just like, the vision just feels like it's dying. The dream feels like it's dying. And so the plan for Joseph's vision was that it seemingly die and completely be given up. It was a prophetic picture that Joseph's father Jacob thought he was dead. Because most often the vision has to look like it's dead, gone, or all hope is lost. Like it looked like for the disciples, right? For Jesus, they're like, well, that one's over. Yeah. Check that one off of the list of things happening in my life. Right? Like, seemed like a really good plan, and thought he was the Savior, and thought he was going to come through, and let me just... So let's just erase some check marks right now, prophetically. Like, get your eraser. I want your eraser out. Hold it up. Because we're going to erase the things we checked off as, oh, not happening, I guess. If it's a God dream, if it's a God destiny, if it's a God vision, there's no keeping it from stopping if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And don't get into, well, am I being led? Like, if you're worried about if you're being led, then you're probably being led. If you're not worried about, oh, man, am I being led? Then you're probably not worried about whether you're being led. You're not living the life of a Christian. But I'm sure all of us we do heart checks, like, God, am I, you know, we good? Am I doing this thing right? And so today we're going to erase some of the things that we checked off that we knew once upon a time God said this, and I was so confident of it, and then life happened, and it seemed like all hope was lost, and what if things are just unfolding right now? What if it's all unfolding right now? And I'm a prophetic voice to the unfolding of what's about to be revealed when you thought all hope was lost. When you thought the dream was just dead, it's gone, it's over, not happening. You got your eraser? Let's erase the things we checked off. Like, not happening. Nope, we're saying, we're gonna go ahead and leave that box open to opportunity called Holy Ghost invasion. And we're just going to believe again, God, that the things that we checked off and we earmarked as not happening, let me just file that one away because it seemed like a great plan. It seemed like a God plan. It seemed like a God vision. It seemed like a God dream and destiny. But let me just file that away because it's all, sometimes, honestly, God, it's too hard to look at. I don't want to pull it out. Because I contended for this for so long. I contended for this for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And it ain't happened. I don't want to look at it. But we're erasing our check marks. The things we checked off as not possible, not happening. God must not have been in it. I must have screwed up. I must have whatever. That's why we have this little thing called repentance that we can turn around any moment. And we can change our mind about something at any moment. And I know we look at repentance as like these bad sins, but what if he's just looking for a repentant heart for checking things off? What if he's just saying, I want you to apologize for thinking my hand was too short? And my time should have been in yours. Because my times aren't in your hands, my times are in my hands. This is obviously a word for me, folks. Just as well. Because we've all checked some things off and said, I must have screwed up, or I must have heard wrong. What's your seed? Because the provision's in the seed. What if you need to pick back your travailing up? What if you need to pick back your intercession up? What if you need to pick back your believing up? What's your seed? I don't know. But pick it back up and sow it deep. Sow it deep so it can't be found. So deep where only he can touch it. Where no man can touch it, where no voice can touch it, where you can't pull it back up. So it's so deep, so hidden in him that he's the only one that has the secret. He's the only one that knows, that seed's in there. And that's the seed to their provision, and it's going to happen. The fruit's going to be born. Fulfillment's going to happen. Dreams are going to come true. Destinies are going to be fulfilled. Because we're all guilty of pulling that seed back up and being like, dang, it's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. What if this is springtime and it's germinating right now? And destinies are unfolding right now, and there's about to be a blade that's to be revealed, and it's going to give us great hope, and it's going to give us great strength, and it's going to be like that awakening impartation that Elijah had, and it's going to be the strength that we can run towards the Mount of God again for 40 days just in the hope of, oh my gosh, did you see that sprout? Did you see that thing that I thought was dead and gone come to life? He can do it. He can do it in an hour's time. He can turn everything around by the time you walk out this door today. Some of you are going to walk out this door and it's just going to be unfolded. You're just going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I came. Because things are unfolding right now. Things are being revealed right now. Things are just popping up right now. All across the room, things are popping up. You're going to see some blades. What am I talking about? It's the scripture that says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, right? That's the process of things coming to fullness. And some of you are going to walk out of this house today, and you're going to see, you know what? I see the blade. I see some manifestation, and maybe the manifestation is right here, and it's like, you know what, God, I'm hungry again, and that's the manifestation, that's the blade. God, I want you so bad again. I want to live for you in a deeper way, and maybe that's the blade. Because everything external has to happen internal first. What's your seed? Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven's like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. What was his seed? He sold everything. That was his seed. Because the provision's in the seed. He sold everything and he said, you know what? This is my seed because This is so much lesser than what's ahead. you know, the enemy would like to trap us in thinking that, you know, I think about my kids, you know, I think about, like, you know, I don't even like leaving them for a day, you know, and things like that. And this, like, the enemy would just like to trap us in these little, like, if you give up this little thing, then it's going to be too much. It'll be too hard. It won't matter. It won't bring the results you're looking for. And so maybe there's just some little things that God's like, you know what? If you do that, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be as bad as you think. It's not going to be as hard as you think. It's not going to be as trivial or you know, troublesome as you would believe. If you just give me a minute. If you just try it out. And let go of this, you know, because there's a lot that he can finally hand us when we're not grasping so tight to some other things. And so I don't know what the things in your life are that you grasp so tight of that you just have such a hard time just letting go of. But I want to encourage you and exhort you to just like, be okay to just try it. Like, even if you like let go and grab it right back up, just I want you to have the feeling of letting it go for a second. What do you need to let go of that you know could be a roadblock to the more? You know, it reminds me of the scripture in Mark 10:29-30, because I experienced this. If you've ever had a real long lifestyle, especially if you're in leadership, I don't know what it is about leadership as far as occupationally that seems like you got to go through this. But it's Mark 10:29-30 says, "Truly I tell you," said Jesus, "no one has left home, brother, sisters, mother, father, children, fields, for my sake and for the gospel, will not fail to receive 100-fold in the present age. Houses, brothers, sisters, and mothers, and children, and fields, along with persecutions, to receive eternal life in the age to come." And so, what am I saying? Sometimes we got to give up these things like family and brothers and sisters and comfort of home and comfort of just, you know what, all the things that bring comfort. he said, you know what, if you'll let it go, actually, all 100-fold bless you. you know how many mothers and fathers and that I have in my life, and how many grandparents my kids have. because I allowed the journey to take place in my life where I left my home. You know, I'm a family guy. I'm one of seven. Leaving home was the hardest thing I ever did, because we were so close. But when God calls, you better answer. You know, and you got to believe that this scripture, like, no, it's a 100-fold in this present life. It's not like someday out in the glory clouds. He said, you know what? No, I'm going to bless that. I'm going to return that 100-fold. And so whatever the comforts are, that then we'd like to say, if you give up that little comfort, you know, you're going to lose that forever. Well, not according to my scripture, not according to what my Bible says. It says that those little things that bring such comfort and life and joy to me, that he's actually going to go ahead and give me 100-fold return on that in this life. And so my kids have, you know, probably 10 grandparents. I have all kinds of spiritual moms and spiritual dads because I followed this little trip called ministry. And I followed this Holy Spirit. And I have all kinds of parents. And I have all kinds of brothers and sisters that I would have never, ever had. I would have been stuck with my four brothers and two sisters and you know, a dad who's dead and a mom who's something else. and not what, and that's what would have been my current situation if I hadn't 10 years ago decided that, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and follow the Holy Spirit's plan. And now I have families like this church where I got all kinds of peeps that I love. And that love me. Come on, right? Come on. Ha, ha, ha. Breaking up the seriousness. This kid's so serious. All right. We good? Well, God, we just thank you so much for speaking today and for releasing your words. And I ask again, God, that there would just be such a strength that would come through the words that you spoke, not only to my heart, believe me, like, you know, if there's one person in my life that knows me, it's Doris. my wife and Doris probably know all my woes. And so I need this word, and I need to leave church today and actually believe everything I just said too. Because I, you know, there's things that it's like, where is it, God? And so I'm going to be saying, God, what's my seed? Whether your seed might just be actually just standing strong and just believing, because sometimes our faith is the hardest thing to give them. Sometimes our belief is the hardest sacrifice. And so, Lord, I just pray that there had been bread and water that was partaken of today that would help us to run in the strength of that for however many days, weeks, months, years, whatever it might be, hours. We'll take hours to get to the place where we need to go and where we need to be. So, Father God, I bless this family that I have called Fellowship of the Beloved. Father God, I'm just so grateful for them. And I just speak blessing over them. I speak life over them. And anywhere where there's been cursing spoken over them, Father God, I just remove it. And I release blessing in its place. I just, by faith, Father God, I just pull out the little burrs and the things along the way that get in our wool as we travel through the life, as we sojourn, as we go through this. Father God, I just by faith, Dad, and I ask for your angelic host to just come through and pick out the burrs, pick out the stuff that just tries to get on us and get in us and identify with us, and all this junk, all these lies, all the doubt and the fear and disbelief and all the stuff that tries to just get in our wool and make us look like something that we're not and feel like something we're not. We just remove that stuff right now. We're just asking God that they just feel like we just got washed today and that there's just a clean slate of hope and belief and triumph and victory. And we thank you, Dad. I thank you so much for what's unfolding. That's a prophetic word. That's your word. Those aren't my words. I thank you for what's unfolding and what we're going to see and what we are seeing. I thank you for it, Dad. And we just rejoice in it ahead of time. We thank you. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm will gladly pray for anybody who wants further ministry.